Catechism question this week, number 55. Yeah, let's see this. Okay, better recording. What is forbidden in the third commandment? And the answer is, the third commandment forbiddeth all profaning or abusing of anything whereby God maketh himself known. And so the Lord says, you shall not bear his name in vain. And you remember that his name doesn't just refer to a set of syllables by which he may be called. His name refers to how he makes himself known to creatures. He doesn't need a name in himself. He has perfect knowledge of himself. His name is how he communicates himself to us. And so there are the various ways that God makes himself known, which does include names. The greatest of which, of course, is the Lord Jesus himself, and the means of grace. And so the third commandment forbiddeth doing two things with the means of grace, especially the Word of God, the ordinances of Christ in the church, and so forth. The two things that are forbidden are profaning, which means treating as common or taking lightly, or abusing. Using in the wrong way, or treating foully or wickedly. Elder Patterson in catechism class today used or referred us to a couple of texts that I thought were particularly helpful. The first is Malachi 2, verse 2, if you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says Yahweh of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. So either he's talking about cursing that which would have been a blessing, or even worse, giving that which is a blessing, but making it a curse unto us, such as the meat, the quail that he gives Israel in the wilderness, and while the meat is still within their mouths, he starts to kill them. He curses them in the midst of that which ought to have been a blessing, but they had despised him. But note the thing that he says here brings a curse on the blessings. If you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, and I have cursed them already because you did not take it to heart, or you do not take it to heart. If we come to the worship of God, or read the worship of God, or hear the word of God preached, participate in the Lord's Supper. Remember, they were despising Christ and guilty of the body and blood of Jesus. If we do any of those things without taking it to heart, without engaging the Lord sincerely and taking him seriously, treating him weightily from our hearts, then we are violating the third commandment, and God says, I will not hold him guiltless. Similarly, in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 12, the harp and the strings, the tambourine and flute and wine are in their feasts, but they do not regard the work of Yahweh, nor consider the operation of his hands. They love the externals of worship. This is especially those things that are pleasant. The music sets, and in this case, the wine. But it is an earthly, sensual enjoyment of that which makes them feel a certain way. What they're not regarding is the Lord's own work and activity in the worship and the operation of his hands. So what does the third commandment forbid? It forbids the profaning of anything by which God makes himself known. Treating it as common, treating it as of little importance, treating it as of earthly benefit instead of spiritual benefit, failing to engage God personally in it. Remember, God is God in himself. There is no unmediated way by which we can know him. He makes himself known to us. And so the ways by which he makes himself known then must be treated with the same reverence that we have for him. Because that's how we interact with him, is through those things. And then, of course, even worse, the abusing. And that's not just treating lightly or having a superficial or fleshly enjoyment, but even sinning and enjoying sinfulness in the way that we use the Bible or engage in his worship, etc. This too was done in Corinth at the Lord's Supper. Remember those who were drunk at the Lord's table and who treated their brethren spitefully at the Lord's table. It was difficult to try to convey the significance of what this commandment forbids. I think that when we stand before him in the last day and all of our delusions about ourselves are removed and the veil is removed to show us the greatness of God's glory, whom we have trifled with, of course we must worship him. But oh, the danger in trifling with God in worship. The Lord, by his grace, not only count Christ's righteousness on our behalf, but conform us to Christ, that we would never trifle with the living God.